Welcome to Shakespeare Full Circle, a journey of a circuitous nature into the mind of the Bard of Avon, or as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. Now, if I were to ask you that of all the plays that Uncle Will penned in his prolific career, ranging from blood-soaked histories to screwball, slapstick, cross-dressing comedies to supernatural tales of revenge and regicide, you could be forgiven for thinking that today's phrase, love is blind, would pop up in Will's most famous love story of teen tumult, Romeo and Juliet. But you would be wrong. Dead wrong. Knife through the heart, poison gulpingly wrong. We must travel from Verona, some 70 miles to the Italian coast, coincidentally via the home of one of William's less than savory lovers, Petruchio, through his hometown of Padua, which, come to think of it, is also the hometown of another unlikely lover, Benedict, in Much Ado. But anyway, we will then arrive at the canals of Venice that have captured lovers' imaginations for centuries. One such lover is Jessica. In The Merchant of Venice, Jessica, the daughter of the Jewish moneylender Shylock, elopes with her penniless Christian lover, Lorenzo. Forced to abscond in the dead of night, Jessica disguises herself as a boy and laments to her lover that she is forced to conceal her feminine visage that he fell in love with.
Here, catch this casket. It is worth the pains. I'm glad 'tis night you do not look on me, for I am much ashamed of my exchange. But love is blind, and lovers cannot see the pretty follies that themselves commit. For if they could, Cupid himself would blush to see me thus transformed to a boy.
The idea must have been swirling around in Uncle Will's head for some time, because though he never used the phrase as such 2 years earlier in A Midsummer Night's Dream, it could be argued that he was exemplifying the antics of unsighted addicts of amorous amusements when the impish fairy Puck dropped the juice of a flower into the eyes of the sleeping queen of the fairies, Titania, making her fall in love with the first creature she sees upon waking, which so happens to be the character Bottom, but after he had been transformed into an ass. Clever stuff there.
It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
We use this phrase in much the same way as Uncle Will did, either as an expression of love not based on physical appearances, or as an explanation why a friend just can't seem to acknowledge the character or behavior of their lover. But there is a slight problem that we do need to address and not turn a blind eye to, the literal origin. The true etymology can be found some 200 years earlier in every high schooler's literary nemesis, the Canterbury Tales. So why was Uncle Will generally credited with the phrase? The thing to keep in mind here is, though Chaucer may have penned the phrase in Middle English, the average literacy rate in England was under 10%, and also, and perhaps more importantly, the Gutenberg press wouldn't reach English shores until 1476. So, only could most people not read, a handwritten leather-bound book of parchment was prohibitively expensive for all but the very few. So I think it's safe to assume that though millions throughout the ages have succumbed to blind love, almost no one used the term in general speech for that specific reason. Until. During Uncle Will's heyday, literacy rates did rise to about 30%, but more importantly, according to the Globe Theatre, audience attendance was between 10 and 20,000 per week, and only cost a penny. Cheaper and much more accessible to the masses, and more conducive than cockfighting or bear baiting for an Elizabethan date night. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that's all we have time for. Join us again next time for another circuitous journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time. Shakespeare Full Circle is a production of WGTE Public Media. You can learn more and download all episodes at wgte.org/sfc or wherever you get your podcasts.